Fáilte, fáilte, gá tíne go tí antíal de bét na meise Brendan ó Davnian seo a Highland Radio. Welcome to the DL Debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now, Highland Radio are back via the podcast, another packed show in store for you this evening. We're going to discuss all the weekend's GAA action throughout the show. Of course, Donegal's exit from the championship at the hands of Dublin yesterday in Croke Park. Shortly, I'm going to speak with Kevin Cassidy about the game and about Donegal's season. Kevin, of course, knows a thing or two about it, having played with Donegal across many managers, including Jim McGuinness. So it'll be fascinating to get his views on it. I'll then speak with top GAA sports writer Kieran Cunningham, Donegal man, of course. Kieran always has a good handle on the championship and the comings and goings of teams, managers, the form. We'll also hear a bit from Jim in his interview. We'll play a bit of that there in between Kevin and Kieran's interviews, just to get the views on Jim's interview yesterday, and I'm sure Kevin's got a few points on that as well. Our ladies were tasted defeat at the weekend as well at the hands of Mayo. They're going to be in a promotion relegation playoff now. That's Jim Daly's team, operating well actually in both games in the first half. Just strong finishes from Mayo, pulled away there yesterday, but plenty of green shoots from James Daly's team. Now, Donegal went up, we were up and down in the championship. This was supposed to be the up game. That's what the way we were looking at it, in terms of trying to understand Donegal in the championship, but it wasn't to be. And again, a second half of lacking in real energy and leadership, I thought, on the pitch. Really, Dublin took control of the game, lucky to hang in there, and were well beaten, I think, in added time for me. But listen, we're going to discuss all this now with Kevin Cassidy. He joins us on the line. Kevin, how are you?
Good to be, how are you?
Jay Rich, lad, you keeping well?
Yeah, all good, thanks. Down in Marigallon here, the sun's shining, so it's hard to beat.
Yes, lad, you'll have to hop off that pier, hey, and make a splash.
Later on, hopefully.
Good man. Kevin, listen, hey, Kevin, fascinated to get your thoughts. Me and you were sharing an odd text yesterday, you know, around the performance and Jim's interview, the words and all after. But listen, just getting into the game itself, Kevin, you know, we're obviously looking at Cork at home and you know, we're expecting a big push from Donegal with a layoff. It didn't come, per second half, and really a lot of head scratching. So we're getting into this game now with Dublin, who obviously had their own issues this year. You know, they were relegated, they were beat after extra time by Westmeath, they had that poor performance against Louth. So many people were saying this was a definite game for Donegal, and you know, the first half there wasn't a lot in it, but then again we seen that energy from Dublin in the second half. And what was your feeling going into the game, Kevin? You know, it felt like, for me, from a Donegal supporter perspective, this was a huge chance for us now to get to the quarter final that we really wanted to be in.
Yeah, well, I think everybody thought that, to be, especially, you know, if you look back at how Donegal have played, not just this year, but over the last couple of years, and we know how Jim can get the boys up for games. And we felt that after disappointment in Balmafay against Cork, that maybe there would be a big reaction this weekend. That's like going up the road, that's what we all thought. From a Dublin point of view, to be, I know everybody's writing Dublin off, but I said 6 or 7 weeks ago that I don't think Dublin are good enough to win their Ireland, but they're on their day. For me, they could take out a Kerry, a Dublin, a Donegal, a Galway on their day. So there was always that danger there. Like if you look at their front six, to be, there's probably getting any team in the country. So from that point of view, I suppose the boys had to be careful. But for me, anyway, it was very evident early on that we just weren't at the levels that we needed. There was a lot made of Parnell Park and getting to Croke Park and all the rest, but we just didn't seem to have the energy to get around the place like we normally do.
But Kevin, say if you drill down on it, I mean, I spoke to a few of my friends from Cavan. They were saying that, you know, Dublin were there to be beaten man for man. They just were very poor in the tackle, their midfield was poor, and I get what you're saying. The forward line, of course, had a breath of talent, but it looked like, particularly with their issues in midfield, their issues in the goalkeeper, and Comerford played quite well in terms of kickouts anyway. But it was their back six that I thought is going to struggle against our front six. But Kevin, all that comes down to energy, right? So if you take energy away, then forget about everything. Everything else is going to fall apart on you. And before we get into that, Kevin, I suppose if Donegal were trying to learn from them per second halves, you know, it was very poor second half against Down. We don't know what would happen in the second half against Kerry, because we were a man up and maybe that could have disguised something. But second half against Cork was very poor. So I think Jim decided that Oisín Gallen looked unreal in that first half. Ryan McHugh is so integral to, you know, his experience getting on the ball, setting up the plays, scoring as well. So he looks like a full championship game was a stretch for him, just, you know, because of the amount of years he has done. So did you think it was a smart move then to hold the two guys back and to go for the big finish?
This is a funny answer to be right. It was the right thing to do, but funny enough, when I was in Croke Park and I heard the changes coming through, I seen that as a weakness from a Donegal point of view, because I know Jim well, Jim doesn't tend to listen to outside noise. Now, all the outside noise this week is that we didn't have a bench and we weren't strong enough. So to me, it looked as if he was bending for that. Now, I agree it was the right thing to do, but then should we maybe have left it 10 minutes into the second half so that maybe we get a reaction from the crowd or we get some lift? But, you know, making the change at halftime, I thought that actually the two young lads were doing well for us.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, I agree.
You know, it's just a funny one. And again, to me, we're not up there Tuesday, Thursday, so we don't know the ins and outs of what's going on. But, like, from the outside, obviously, Arshin Gellin's probably the best forward in the county by a mile. It just doesn't seem to be happening for one reason or another, you know.
Mm. But we've seen sprinklers. I think probably the first half against Mayo, say, for Gellin, and the first half the last day, he just looks completely on it. And then we couldn't seem to get him into the game. It was as if, if he had been on that first half, he probably would have had a load of opportunities. I think by the time he did come on the pitch, the rest of the players seemed to already maybe be on the way down in terms of energy levels, particularly what we've seen, Kevin. And, you know, when you look back at it, you know, Donegal, if you look at Derry a couple of years ago, remember Mickey Hart was in the famous game of Dublin. Everybody was touting him for All-Ireland contenders. Roscommon did it a few years ago. I think we'd say 2007, even we did it, Kevin, around going too hard in the league and then not being able to lift it in the championship. Like, it doesn't seem like that's something that could happen with the kind of setup that Donegal have now, but it did happen. You know, it's the only thing you can put it down again. There's nothing else there. So I think that if you look at it, probably the hangover from the All-Ireland, that Donegal came into the season meaning business, which means they were operating at a high level. I mean, if you look at the way we beat Kerry in the league final, obviously we were operating at another level at the wrong time. So you'd have to say the Donegal management, in terms of preparing this team for a championship, got the season the wrong way around.
I think when they sit down for their debrief, that's definitely something that'll be on the table, because I know the All-Ireland was disappointing last year, but I think they took it personally. Obviously, they went after Kerry in a big, big way, and they've done a job on them three times already this year, but at the end of the day, Kerry are still in the championship and we're out, you know. So I think there is an issue around maybe timing and maybe not putting all your eggs in the one basket. Listen, it's easy to sit here now and say it, you know, because obviously we're out. But, you know, definitely I think when Jim and his management team sits down, they'll say, right, you know, because we were just chatting here, the young lads are training here, and obviously everybody's talking about the game and dissecting it and different things, but like somebody made the point that Donegal went back training in September last year. Like, so that's an awful long slog. And you know Jim, and I know Jim, and we've been there around him. It's 100 miles an hour and nothing less. That's the only way he knows. It's worked for so long to me, but then when you get a bad performance of that, obviously people start pointing at things like that there. But They're the only people on the inside who know what really went on, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And listen, Kevin, I guess it's all pointing to that. And what I mean is, for guys to be that experienced, to fall into that wee bit of a trap, we just weren't expecting that. Like, if you're, I mean, listen, last year, Jim wouldn't, at the end of the year, I wanted to do a bit of context because it was such a phenomenal year. It was a phenomenal 2 years. You know, just to say, you know, some of the brilliance and the highlights. And okay, we'd won bad game, and so you could kind of dust yourself down. But now this year, Kevin, when you look at it, really, we've been beaten three championship games, and we won one with a team that lost a man, you know, at half time. So, you know, it isn't just like this was a one off or anything. So our whole season plan out was badly executed in terms of us maybe having an All Ireland tenth. But as you said, Kevin, they're just going to have to, I suppose, whether Jim takes another year or not, we're not sure, because he had a, he took a three with a possible four. So I suppose there's a lot of players maybe looking at it. And Kevin, I suppose Michael Murphy, you know, the way that he has come back and got himself into shape to play 2 years at this very high level of sport. Listen, I was just delighted, Kevin, when we made that comeback against the Dubs, that last kick of his, you know, I was pretty confident he was going to put it over the bar, but I didn't want that to be his last kick, you know, in his 200th game.
No, like, you know Michael as well, we both played with him, and the minute he picked the ball up in his hands, I knew there was going to be only one outcome, because I'm sure deep down in the back of his mind, that was somewhere in his mind as well, that, listen, this could be my last kick here, so there's no way that he was going to, put that one wide. But just on Michael, like, he's probably been our most influential player this season yet again. To be what I would like to see from Michael last year, you know, it was brilliant, and this year, very hard to do. And I get the fact that the management team are tempted to play him all the time, but can you imagine if it was just a written rule that we're holding Michael for the last 20 minutes? That's very, very hard to do.
Yeah.
But if we did that, to be in the lift that he would give the crowd, and you know he's going to make an instant impact, and then maybe the likes of an Oisin Gallon steps up and he takes over the main role for the first 40, 50 minutes, knowing that Michael's coming. I don't know. It's all hindsight now, you know.
Yeah, it's all hindsight. And I think as well, Kevin was saying, once the energy drops, like, everything else basically, you know, doesn't happen. Because in that first period at a time, you know, and again, Kevin, obviously Michael and McGee got the blacks, which probably affected us more than them. But we needed to get a short kick away to kind of get our hands on the ball. And then you had Deignan and McSherry were on fresh, McGarry, and they really run amok. I mean, they went five up. And you really thought at that time frame it was already gone for us, Gavin. Even though we had the two-pointer for Mulroney, which was a great kick, you just felt that all the energy was with Dublin. And when you think back, I say the energy of the league final, Kevin, you know, that's the type of energy you needed to be drawn on in a game like that, as we'd done in the last couple of seasons. I mean, we were up against it against Armagh in the Ulster final games. We came back, you know, we were up against Monaghan. Brilliant second half. You know, Meath through the kitchen sink at us. We come back at them. You know, we were like, it's such a different championship compared to the two previous.
Yeah, like, even go back to the league, to be, if you were 5 points down the league, you would say, listen, Donegal, they'll eat into that lead in no time. But you just knew yesterday after the first 10, 15 minutes that the way we were creating chances and the difficulty we had scoring, like, it was going to be impossible for us to pull five back, I thought. So I agree with you. At half time and extra time, you were just saying to yourself, there's no way we can get back in this game here. Any time we attacked, we were depending on Langan earlier on to be the go-to man to get the shots off. Like, our forwards were on the ball, but they weren't really taking the shots on, to be, if you want to put it that way. Or, you know, they were maybe, the way we do it, we're just holding possession and waiting for that 100% shot. But, you know, energy is a massive thing, and you look at our system of play, and it's worked for so long, Davey, but if you don't have energy in that system of play, you're really, really in trouble.
Yeah, because Parkinson's always having a cut, you know, at me and Aaron there when we were on the smaller fish, and he's like, Donegal won't kick it, they won't kick it, Armagh won't kick it, they run the ball. Now, he was putting some of this down to that there, but I was saying to him, Donegal's game plan, if Donegal are fit and fresh and at it, as we've seen, if they run the ball, they are an awesome force, and that's what we've seen the last couple of years. But obviously that drops away, and when you think about it, Cash, you know, you look at the breaks of the Lone Band would have been making Finbar Rorty. I know Mogan had his moments yesterday, but they didn't seem to be happening the way they were, you know, in terms of breaking the lines. Kieran Moore, you know, coming out of defence. We didn't hardly see any of those things that we're so used to seeing, you know, from different players. And they all would have been contributing those breaks out of defence, players coming up the pitch. We just seen patches of different people, you know, McGee, Langan, you know, Murphy would come in and out of the game a bit. But if you look at the way Basquiat was operating, you know, Conn O'Callaghan, you know, any time they got it, Kieran Kilkenny in the second half started to get on a lot of ball. So there seemed to be a bit of rhythm with Dublin that any time they get in the round or defence, they were just going by our defenders. They were dropping the shoulder and going by them. They had a serious threat when they got the ball up the pitch.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, it's just so difficult to wrestle that back once it goes away from you. And, like, you know, Dublin, like, I think the worst thing that happened to us, to be, was the way we came out of Killarney, because we're up there to be shot at. Like, I'm sure all week Dublin are saying, listen, let's show these boys that we can go toe-to-toe with them. And you've seen that, to be, any time they got a 1v1 against any of our defenders, they went down the barrel of a gun. Our boys couldn't stay with them. And then the flip side, we're so used to seeing, like, the likes of Kieran Moore galloping up the pitch, but it just simply wasn't there. And again, the players and the management are the only ones who really know what the bodies are feeling like the last couple of weeks and what they've been through and what's left in the tank. And not alone this year, Davey, but like we know how Jim operates. Like it's a heavy workload for what that's 3 years now.
Yeah.
So it does definitely take its toll, but maybe it could have been timed a wee bit better. And you know, if you won the All Ireland at the end of it, you know, you'd play to recover after that, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose when you look at it, Kim, let's just say now the two teams went the furthest last year was ourselves and Kerry. They came into the season like they didn't seem to care early on. You know, I know Jack O'Connor talks a lot about the fact that they've like three championships nearly going down there around you can be involved in three, and there's so he reckons put that down to the injuries and that. But Kerry came in really, really late. They accidentally found themselves in the league final, but they came in now ready to prime themselves for championship, and us that was say second pegging to them last year and would have put most people would have said we were second to Kerry, you know, generally going into this season. We obviously came in way too fast, Kim. So listen, I get what you're saying about the intensity in that and night after night, but nearly now maybe the championship with those breaks and that, it looked like we should have been fresh coming back in, Kevin. So would, in your mind, would it be that every night of training is quite intensive? It's not that you're doing big runs or anything, but it's very intensive. And then over time, it's very hard to keep that up. Would that be your feeling and what you've seen then with Donegal?
Definitely. Like, just if you compare and contrast what a Kerry session would look like compared to us, for example, right? We know how good we are at running the ball, and that's what we do, and we're the best team in the country doing it. So just say we're going out and we're playing our 11v11 and training whatever, you know, even though you don't mean it to be intensive, like we're running the ball the whole time, so the miles are going in and the legs. Whereas if that was a Kerry session, they're maybe kicking the ball a lot more. It's maybe not as taxing, if you get me. It's just our game plan to be, and that's like it's work, so you can't knock it, but it's just so demanding on the body. And listen, I agree with you. Early on, I was at the first league game against Kerry and Ballyshannon, or when Kerry came there, and again, Donegal made it personal because they felt that they were bullied in All Ireland final last year. They wanted to make a statement, so we were out of the blocks early. And I just remember Aidan McGarrett, he's obviously on the backroom team, but he works with us in TG Cahir. And that was the day that they left Clifford and them at home. And I said to him, Clifford has the flu, and he gave me a wee smile as if to say, we're not silly enough to come up here all guns blazing this early, you know. So. Yeah. There's a lot of that in it too, and I get it. You know, if you're beating a final, you are hurt and you want to bring them down. And you know, we probably thought that we didn't give a good account of ourselves that day, and you're hoping that the next season will work. And it did work to me three times, absolutely dismantled Kerry. But again, maybe it just took too much out of us.
Mm, certainly so. Kim, just last thing I just want to ask you on that decision there, the McGarry the touching the ball on the ground, it seemed very harsh, right? Of course, from a Donegal perspective, we were delighted to get the opportunity. The way he left that ball, Kev, now let's just say Dublin were a point down and you're a neutral or a dub. If Dublin were a point up and they were put out of the championship, do you think there, Brendan Coghlan should have, now I'm just saying from a rules perspective, should have said, here, you need to hand that ball back and maybe give him the opportunity to do it. Do you think that's a bit harsh, given the way he pulled that forward and give us the chance to equalise? Does it seem a bit like he should maybe go talk to the player there? It looked like a bit accidental from McGarry.
I think so, to me. I think, and I heard Gerard Brennan's comments on it afterwards. He spoke to McGarry, and McGarry said he thought it was his free. And it was only when he realised it wasn't his free, he dropped it. It's just your natural reaction. This is going to take, like maybe our younger teams, when they come up, you know, 6, 7, 8 years' time, it'll become second nature just to hand the ball out. But at the minute, that's not the way we were brought up. That's not the way we were coached to do it. So your first initial thought is drop the ball and get back in the shape. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah. Listen, we were delighted to get it, but yeah, Dublin have gone out in that note. It would be a really, really tough one to take.
Yeah, it just seems a bit harsh for what it is. I think even if the boy lays down the ball flat, he's not like trying to throw it away. You know, if the rest is to him, you need to hand that back. I think the hand back thing should be. I think if you put the ball down, I think that's enough. I mean, but anyway, that's all. You know, I just wouldn't want it to decide a big game. I just don't think it's the right type of rule they have in there. But Kevin, listen, thanks as ever. You get back to the Atlantic there. Hey, I'll be down to join you next week. Hey, we'll go for a dip.
We'll go for a swim, no bother, right?
Cheers, that's Kevin Cass there, wrapping up yesterday's action. After the break, I'm going to play a bit of Jim McGuinness's words after that defeat to Dublin yesterday, and we're going to speak with Kieran Cunningham. Yes, welcome back to DL Debate. Here's a few words after match from our banisher, Jim McGuinness.
Jim, 26-22 defeats at Dublin. Your season's over. What's your thoughts after that?
Yeah, disappointed, Ryan, obviously. You know, I suppose it's hard to reflect now because it's so early, but like on reflection, just didn't do enough in the games in terms of consistency. I think you're trying to arrive with as many healthy bodies as possible, and that's, I suppose, a big part of it. We tried to do that today, but we didn't have enough in the tank. That's just the bottom line. I think the kickouts were a big part of it. Like, you know, our own kickout wasn't firing the way it normally would. Dublin did well on their own. They were getting them out over the top very, very early. That was stretching us, which was allowing them to get the short ones away as well. They were asking both questions. We were probably down about 50% over the course of the game, which isn't enough. Like, you need to be definitely, you know, tipping 60, 65, maybe 70. Some of the teams are 80 over the weekend there, and doing a really good job. And if you're not, you're chasing your tail. You're trying to work off scraps, you know, and in fairness, we did do that. The positive today would be the fact that, you know, they kept on going. And Michael's two-pointer at the end of normal time to pull the game back, you know, that was real good courage from that point of view. So that would be the positive. But certainly my initial thought would be we didn't do enough within the game to win the game.
Were you frustrated with the melee that developed after that? And, you know, because you ended up losing two players, lost two big men as well.
Yeah, well, we lost three actually because we'd just taken Huey off, so that had a big impact on it, you know. Yeah, listen, it didn't help matters, that's for sure, you know. And then you don't know what's going to happen when you're in the dressing room. You don't know what's going to happen when you're out of the dressing room. It affects how you pick the team for the start of extra time, all of that type of stuff. So it was kind of a wait and see situation, and he brandished four black cards, you know. And so we can't have any complaints with that either.
And Dublin really kind of surged ahead in that first period.
Well, you have to leave three up the fields, like, so when you have two men down, like, it's hard enough with 11 with the new rules. If you have two men down, it's literally people are just eyeing up the person that's most fatigued, and they're looking for 1v1s, and that's what happened. Like, you know, people were, you know, they were trying their best, they were trying to get there, they were trying to do everything, but, you know, you had some of the Dublin players there that were fresh on as subs, lining up fellas that had played the whole game. That's a tough spot to be in.
And you still had a couple of goals, and Shane Malone had a goal chance early, and he had another one he tried to get across. I don't think so.
You know, even the first one, I thought he maybe could have flicked it over the bar, to be honest with you. Like, the other one was clear goal scoring opportunity. Max had a brilliant turnover, and then we just give the ball away right away on the back of it. Like, you know, that would have brought it back to, I'm not sure, maybe a point or 2 points at that stage. So all those bits and pieces. But at the end of the day, Max is a teenager. Shea is just out of his teenage years. You know, there's a lot of lads like that are finding their way as well, and they'll learn a lot from the performance today.
Jim, just on the losses themselves, just mentioned there, the gas and tank energy was probably the core impact of all of them. What do you put that down to?
Say it again, sorry.
Just the losses that have occurred for you this year, you've probably said that there is energy and heaviness that probably was the core impact of all of them. What do you put that down to?
Well, I don't want to take away from Dublin in the same way I don't want to take away from Down, but like, there is no real training going on. That's the reality, and I don't think there's any training going on in any county. As I said last time we were in this room, you know, you're trying to manage it and you're trying to have enough fellas to arrive on this stage, but there isn't really any training going on. People are just trying to be managed. They're trying to get a wee bit done here and there. So there's a wee bit of a, you never really know where you stand, I suppose, is a better way of saying it. Whereas, like, you know, the last time I was in this job, you would have 3 weeks or 4 weeks between a game. You would be able to get them down, you'd be able to build them up, and you would know where people were at and stuff. So that is a big part of it. And you have to do that. You have to be really careful with them because there's a lot of serious injuries happening, like the hamstring injuries that are happening. I would say there's an epidemic throughout the country in terms of the looking for surgeons. It's just off the charts. So you have to just manage that, and you have to try and make sure that you're on the safe side of it, because the new rules are just, you know, asking so much of the players. Maybe from an explosive point of view, we make it 30-35% more intensity in the games than would have been there before the new rules. The players are the same. They haven't changed. So the subs, the number of subs hasn't changed. So something's going to give. So you just have to be a wee bit more conservative in your approach. And you've got to try and get people right as many days as possible. And I think if you look at, say, all of the games in the Championship, there's hardly a team in the country that hasn't been caught in reality. We've been caught a couple of times, but that's just it. You're trying to get as many things right as possible off the field.
Yeah, it's something you're trying to do yourself when you kind of stop pushing the line and kind of bottom on a half time. It all seemed like that was the game plan for yourself.
We're trying to do that. We're trying to look at everybody, to be honest with you. Every single player, you know, you'll have a read on the minutes that they've trained over the last period of time, the expected minutes that they would have in their tank, and you're trying to strategize then to get the most out of people the best possible way.
Is there anything then, I suppose, looking forward, I suppose, knowing this now that you might be able to incorporate?
We knew it all year. Like, you know, this is just the world that we're in. This is the world that we're living in now, and that's just what you have to got to get used to. You know, it's just trying to be as smart as possible and clever as possible, but it's definitely not a straight line. There's ups and downs in that process, and you have to try and get as many things right as possible. And I know for a fact that every other team is in the exact same, they're in the exact same boat, you know.
Jim, you made a call beforehand, obviously, to put Gavin really back in, take out the round queue, and I should Gavin contemplating.
Again, similar situation, you know, and I suppose Sean, to be fair to him, has been pushing through with a bit of pain all year, and we've been trying to get him right all year, and he's been battling away, and you know, that's kind of had a bit of an impact on him, and we'll probably need to go in, get him looked at again now. You know, it's been a tough year for Sean. We've been trying to get him right. He had a surgery on the back of the All-Ireland, and it's been complicated. It hasn't been easy, and we've been trying to manage him, get him in, get him out, and we felt that we had to put him in last week, you know, because if we were going to use him, that, you know, we wanted to do that, you know, before knockout football, and that was really, really the thinking. But Gavin had done really well up to that point, so it's a bit like the last conversation. You're trying to manage all of that, Colin.
You left here in March, the league champions, having beaten Kerry comprehensively. You beat them again, but to lose three championship games out of four, that's not something you would have expected at this stage.
No, definitely not, Colin. Definitely not. No, you know, there's a lot of talented players in that dressing room there, and they've shown that. They've shown that throughout the course of the last number of years. It's consistency, and I think that previous conversation ties in with that a wee bit. Everybody's trying to find the magic formula, if you like, but it's really, really the consistency of that and trying to marry those two things. And I've never come in here and not put my hands up when it's not there and the performance is not there. Then you just say the performance is not there and we have to go away now, and which look at absolutely everything again, you know, and that's where we're at.
Yes, indeed, we have to look at absolutely everything. We technical hitch there. Joe Dex is laughing. Jim just saying, I have to go away and look at absolutely everything. And someone who's good at looking at absolutely everything is the man from Glencombe, Kill, Kieran Cunningham, top GA sports writer. How are you, Kieran?
Not too bad. I'm in a Glen. Nice sunny evening.
Oh, lovely, lovely.
All good in the world.
I was having a row with my mouse there. He wasn't playing ball. Kieran, Kieran, listen, it's good to start things a wee bit lighthearted in this very serious world of high-level sport. Sometimes it can get a wee bit too serious for me, you know, in terms of life versus sport. But Kieran, just your summing up of what you've seen, I suppose, Donegal in terms of the championship and Jim's interview there, what you made of it?
To be honest, I'd always be very reluctant to go too hard at what a manager says after a game because, you know, they're coming out, you know, they're after leaving a cauldron, particularly when they're knocked out of the championship and a game that went to extra time and so much happened in that game. But a lot of what Jim said there didn't make sense. This was a year, like, bar the Dublin game, Donegal had a lot of time, as much time as you've ever had in any era to prepare for championship games. You had a month before Down game, a month before the Kerry game, 3 weeks for the Cork team, a game which is plenty, and then just a week last week, in fairness. Reading between the lines there, he seemed to be, I wonder, are some of the players carrying injuries? You know, because he talked about effectively managing a situation. And maybe there's players that aren't fully fit that have been playing, and that could explain some of their underperformances. But I don't think he's used the squad well this year, to be honest. You know, I think you look at the league. Look, it's great to win the league and all, but you look, Monaghan lost all their games in the league and were relegated, Brendan. They're in All-Ireland quarter-final, and they give them a right good chance of beating Louth and beating All-Ireland semi-final. you know, the league really should be about getting players and strengthening your squad big time. And I, the last time I was on with you, I talked about, that was before the game in Killarney, I talked about how last winter I was worried because effectively that from the match day squad, you lost about a third of it. And there are players there, like say their mid to late 20s, like Niall O'Donnell or Aaron Doherty or Oran Doherty, that they would be great options to have now. And, you know, when you are placing a lot of weight on the likes, as Jim says, Max Campbell and Shay Malone, who are very young fellas in their first year. And unless you're a freak, like say Kobe McDonald, it's very hard to go straight from underage football to senior football. And I think, you know, those fellas made their own decision maybe to go away last winter. But I think there should maybe have a conversation being had with them about, you know, Kieran Thompson going to be out long term, fight for the spot. There might be a spot opening up there in the forward line. And it doesn't look good yesterday. You know, you had three players being substituted and then put back on. Like, what is that saying to the rest of the squad? And I think, you know, Jim, I hope there's a reflection across the board now. You know, that's between everybody, between county board, between management, between the players, because this year wasn't good enough. You're left with the league title, great. Championship was a disaster, lost 3 out of 4 games. You factor in the All-Ireland final, lost 4 of the last 5 championship games. And there is talent there, as Jim says. Donegal are capable of being a big team and winning big games at Croke Park, but I think it needs change. One of the things I would say to you, Brendan, is, you look at managers with longevity. I have a feeling Jim might stay around for a while because, like, he's 54. I don't think the soccer thing's going to happen to him, especially now he's out of it for a few years. So why not? You know, if he wants to commit to this full time, you look in the modern era, which is going back to 2001, the last 25 years since the quarterfinals came in. The managers with longevity, Mickey Hart, he became too stubborn and set in his ways, and you know, the Tyrone didn't make the most out of what they had for a good few years. The year he left, then the following year, they won the All-Ireland. Mm-hmm. Kieran McGeaney, his first 4 years with Armagh, didn't even win an Ulster Championship game. He had the humility to bring in Conall Gilligan from Derry and Kieran Donaghy from Kerry as coaches. And they made a massive difference. Jack O'Connor's there with Kerry for his third term as manager. He has the humility. His first term, he was back in the noughties, he was mostly trained himself. Now he oversees it, he doesn't do it. He brought Keane O'Neill in from Kildare to do the training. Kieran Donaghy this year as a coach. And that's a manager who's the most successful manager of the modern era, that you need help. And I think, Jim, another voice would be very helpful in that setup. Like, what we had is actually from last year's setup, Luke Barrett left. No, he wasn't replaced. But I think now everybody has to be challenged because Donegal have become too predictable, and a bad year can't be, we can't allow to accept this too easily. We're better than that. I think we can be better than that.
Yeah, even Joyce there, Mickey Graham went down there too. Yeah, reaching outside the county. I suppose to hear something different, Ben. Kieran, is the feeling in it, like, you know, it looks like Jim does all the training and does all the stuff. In that itself, Kieran, could that be a bit much weight on him as well? That he's taking all this onus on and everything's kind of, it's really, really his team then, and everything's kind of relayed back to him. And I suppose the hurt of last year's final, instead of maybe tapering into getting back to the air, Donegal had to lay the ghost of that early on. And by doing that, they set themselves up for have this lack of energy in the championship.
Yeah, no, that's definitely an argument because, you know, you have to do all the media duties. You have to appear at sponsors' functions and speak to them, etc. You know, there is a lot of other stuff going on. And this was a year, well, with a lot of outside noise that didn't help, you know, around Murphy in the league final and then around Jim, his tango with Joe O'Connor in Killarney. And all that kind of stuff kind of added to a bad atmosphere around the place. And like you watch, any games you watch on TV, Jim is one of the only managers without an earpiece because everybody else basically has an eye in the stand. Mm. And we're not doing that. Like Jim is taking that all on his own. And I think it does help. Like you go back to his first term, Jim reinvented the team. Like when Rory Gallagher left and he brought in Damien Diver and Paul McGonagall and John Duffy. You know, famously beat Dublin that semi-final, went to the All-Ireland final. Yeah. Only lost it by a kick of the ball. So, you know, he did learn then. But I think, you know, there's things that I don't understand why we don't, you know, we don't shake it up a bit. Like the first half of last year's Ulster final against Armagh, a few balls were kicked into Michael Murphy, did very well, and then Luke the Dangerous tactic. And I don't think it's been done in any game since then. You know, yesterday, funnily enough, in his column in the Sunday Independent, Colm O'Rourke wrote about why have Donegal stopped the flick-on tactic from kickouts. You know, they got them a lot of success with goals in the past. Did it once yesterday with Murphy, flicked it on for Patrick Mogan's goal. Worked so well that we didn't do it again for the rest of the game. You know, those kind of things, you have to look in the mirror when you have had such a bad year and questions are, why are we doing all this stuff? Because, like, it's no good saying we're bad luck or, you know, or the schedule or Sean Patton's injury hasn't healed the way it wanted. They are factors in what has happened this year. But also the way Donegal play and the way the energy, everybody keeps using that word energy. But you remember last year on the way to All-Ireland Final, the amount of times Donegal would be players flying forward in formation, coming across from all angles. We didn't see that this year, not to the same extent.
Mm. I suppose the learnings in terms of the zonal came throughout the league. I was at every Donegal game. You could see that they knew that that tactic was certain to be exploited, say, by a top team like a Kerry and Crow Park. So they come out after teams. And we've seen that elements to the team in terms of trying to, I suppose, learn from last year. And you're right, the squad then didn't seem to get exposed because it was operating at a high level. So we thought everything was rosy. You know, the bench that we had, these young boys coming through, we kind of thought maybe they are ready. But that experience is so vital in championship. And it's interesting you say about the European sprint, because a few times I've done pitch side. Normally I'm sitting up in the commentary doing co-com, whatever. And when I do pitch side there with BBC, I have to get away. I can't sit pitch side. I have to go up and I find a seat somewhere in the stand, because to me, having watched games so often now from that position, I find it impossible to tactically see a game. So without that eye in the sky, so the only time he's getting a wee bit of feedback then would be maybe at halftime. And then that's it, you know. So that is another thing here. I didn't even think about that, yeah, because everybody else is getting some kind of information. Now, I do see some of the backroom team going upstairs. I've seen them go up, but they're not actually mic'd up. They have mics on them, but not to Jim. Maybe there's somebody relaying there. So, Kieran, a lot to be like. I mean, when we look at the science behind this now, Kieran, and the amount of data and feedback and planning that goes into this, it seems a bit strange that maybe that can happen in terms of us like looking to peak for championship, but going at it. Like, are you surprised that that happened? Because you mentioned Mickey Hart there, you know, a couple of seasons ago he did that with Derry. You know, they were thinking they're going to be all Ireland champions, but they obviously put too much into the league. They dropped in the championship. You know, Roscommon a few years previous, remember, went to the league final. Like, even ourselves in 2007, put a lot into the league, won the league, and then, you know, you could feel the energy drain out of the team in the championship. So it's not something you expected, particularly after the last 2 years, because when Donegal were under pressure in those tight games, you know, particularly Ulster finals with Armagh, that they found it. They always found a way. You know, their second halves against Monaghan, and particularly the way they played against Meath, you really seen a Donegal team that might be a bit out of sorts in the first half, but we'd come with serious energy in the second. So all that seemed to wane this year once we get into the championship.
Yeah, and like one of the things that, you know, would concern me about the three teams that Donegal lost to, I think they're pretty average teams, to be honest. You know, Dublin are okay, but they're not great. But that Dublin team yesterday, they created in normal time, they created nearly 40 shots at the posts. You know, they scored 218, then between their wides, coupled into Gavin Mulroney's hands, and a couple that were blocked. So there's guts of 40 attempts. That's a lot of shots to give up with a team that are supposed to be defensively very solid. And they were streaming through the middle and, you know, and coming to different angles. And like they went for the game from the start. Like the first couple of minutes, they went for, they scored a 2-pointer, went for another. And they're a team that don't score 2-pointer, but they were going at this. Donegal didn't seem just to have that kind of energy or drive about them. But that has been missing bar the Kerry game. And the Kerry game in Killarney was freakish in that. You know, Kerry were down significant players in the second half. Then Donegal having the extra man was such a huge factor. Like, Donegal did play well then, but what I would hope happens now, Brendan, is nobody makes a rash decision. You know, you don't make, you know, don't decide anybody your future in the heat of the summer after a bad defeat in Croke Park. You know, wait till the cooler winter, let everything settle over the next few months, go back to your clubs, think about everything and where you are. And even I would say that, but like a lot of people are saying, presuming Michael Murphy is gone, like, and looking at his body language at the end yesterday and all that kind of stuff. But Michael Murphy was still Donegal's best player yesterday, I thought, and comfortably one of Donegal's best all year, if not the best. He still has a lot to offer, and a lot has been made about the lack of impact of the bench. You know, there are games that maybe if he stays on, that it would be very useful to have coming in. The others like that are in their 30s, like Ryan McHugh was very good when he came on yesterday. Hugh McFadden had a good year. Like, I wouldn't be looking for any of those. I hope none of them walk away. Yeah. And I would approach the fellas, a couple of the fellas who pulled out last winter, and see will they give it another year or two. Because I think there is something to work there. Mm. You know, a Kerry are out in front, but Kerry are not going to be like Jim Gavin's Dublin, I don't think. They're not going to be putting 3, 4, 5, 6 All Irelands together.
Yeah.
You know, I think they are far more beatable. And after that, Donegal are well capable of being in the race and being up there with any of them.
Mm. I mean, just thinking then, Kieran, so the fact that Donegal are out a bit early now in terms of next season, once we dust ourselves down, there could be somewhat of a, if Jim says, right, I'm going to do one more year, there could be a push and we get guys back in. I was just thinking, Andy Morntic and Paddy Talley as well. Ian, you know, Kieran, you're looking at that experience and that extra element in there. You know, obviously Colm McFadden's in there. You know, Neil McGee, great lads. You know, James Gallagher in with the keepers and McFadden. Like, they have a great amount of experience of backroom team. But
yeah, but like, I'm not criticising them, but they're all there for the 3 years with you.
Yes,
I think now there is that argument. Yeah. Like, even you go back to Jim Gavin in his either third or fourth year, you brought Jason Sherligan to coach the forwards, which made a massive difference to them. You know, there is a getting that fresh voice and a fresh look at things does help teams.
Mm. And obviously he's in with Roscommon now, which again seemed to really boost those guys. So I guess kind of thing is now willing to kind of open up that debate for another voice or a coach or someone with a lot of experience to come in and kind of galvanise, pull back in the players that were decided to step away and kind of give it that one big push and really taper our season going in. That is the opportunity for Donegal now when the dust settles on this one.
Yeah, I think so. But I think also I'd like to see a bit more of a variety come in. Like, everybody talks about, like, Kerry, you know, as if they just play traditional catch and kick football and they're the exemplars and the purists. But they run the ball nearly as much as Donegal do, but they do kick it on occasion when it's on. And like, you look at Paul Ganey's goal that effectively broke Armagh before halftime on Saturday. That came from a turnover, you know, about the 45-yard line in Kerry's half of the field. And if that happened with Donegal, I'd be almost certain Donegal would run that ball.
Yeah.
But Kerry kicked it straight up the pitch, 40, 50 yards. Aaron McKay, you know, didn't deal with it well. Their Ma player went back up in the air and came to Ganey and was in the back of the net, and that finished the game. And that there is merit in that, particularly when you have somebody like Murphy. You know, if Murphy stays on, and there are other players who can operate as target men, you know, to use it the odd time, you know, just shake it up a time. We don't have to be going around the arc all the time. You know, there are other ways of attacking, and I think in a way this season was one that Donegal, I think opponents saw them as predictable, and that they know, and easier to close down than should be the case.
Yeah, yeah. And Kieran, it's the same everywhere in the pitch. If you've got a very predictable way of playing, it's so everybody falls into the mindset, we know what you're going to do. And that odd attempt, whether it comes off or not, suddenly could unhinge the defence. That possibly might happen. You know, it was a bit like Comerford yesterday. Some of his restarts were so quick out over our squeeze and got Dublin away, but then that made you think twice about squeezing all the way, and then the short would come. So I guess it's that balance in there, Kieran. And listen, we just hope that obviously Donegal pull it together and get back to where.
Yeah, but there's something else, Bernard, as well. I never saw a game where one team won so many breaks. Like, a lot of the time it did seem to just, the ball seemed to be breaking far more kindly around the middle for Dublin than Donegal. But a lot of it too has to be around that this is something that, you know, Dublin were just ravenous to get on whatever was spilling out there. And you do need what they call in rugby, you know, the groundhogs. Mm. Like, because it's like everybody's fed up talking about kickouts, but they've never been more important. Like Peter Canavan at halftime yesterday called it a game of kickouts. And there was a lot of that to it. Like everything was, so much of what happened in that game was dictated by what happened over kickouts. And kickouts isn't just about finding your man or winning clean possession. It's about getting the breaks. It's just so vital, man.
Yeah, brilliant. Kieran, down to the last couple of minutes. Tell me now. I'm just looking at the eight teams has left. Relegated Monaghan, relegated Dublin are in there. Louth through that terrible defeat to Dublin. They're in there. Tyrone were poor in the league. They're in there. So you know you're looking at now. So many questions about Mayo. Where are Galway at? But listen, we're down to the last eight now. What's your feeling in that there? Can Tyrone give Kerry their fill of it in this quarter final?
I find it hard to see that. Like, I think they do have talent, but they just, so many of their forwards are just similar. I think, like, they really miss the likes of Cathal McShane, who just gave them a different, you know, a big physical presence up front. Like, I think they have some lovely forwards, lovely skillful forwards, like Derek Canavan, Darren McCurry. But it's all those, you know, it's all small, skillful fellas they have. Like, they could do with a brute. Mm. And I think, you know, physically just Kerry live too much for them.
A brute, indeed. So, again, if you're going to pick it out, I mean, a lot of people are kind of saying now, if you're judging it, the only team, I think, who can rattle Kerry is potentially Galway. But that be your feeling, Kieran, across the top eight that's left?
Yeah, and, you know, crucially, Pádraig Joyce seems as close to a full deck as has been the case, really, since he took on the job. But now, you know, he has the likes of Shane Walsh and Damien Comer, who were, you know, struggling with injuries for different times. You know, they all seem there, you know, to be in the frame now. And he has a strong bench. Look, he has options. So they are well equipped to give it a rattle. But it'll be an interesting game with them in Dublin. I think, you know, Dublin having to go again and having played extra time, you know, that's tough. So, and also Conor Callaghan's hamstring, you know, must be doubtful if he'll be back. So yeah, he would have to fancy Galway.
That would be a big one, Kieran. Yeah, so you're kind of thinking, that it's mad to think Cork or Mayo, Louth or Monaghan, particularly after some of the times have had this year, are going to be an All-Ireland semi-final, but that is going to be the case, Kieran. Listen, I'll be up at Dublin for the semis anyway. I might catch you round about Croke Park there at some stage if you're kicking around.
Yeah, you never know. You never know. I don't live too far away.
Good man. Kieran, listen, as ever, absolutely brilliant chat. Yeah, you look after yourself and I'll catch you down the drags.
Okay, thanks, TB.
Top Cheers, man, Kieran. Top man. Hey, that's Kieran Cunningham there. GA sports writer Glencombe Kilman. He's down in the homestead at the minute. Hard to beat on that beautiful summer's evening. Well, folks, that's the wrap up from the DL debate on all the weekend's championship action, and of course, just trying to digest Donegal. And I suppose, you know, we're Donegal fans, but we're trying to give, I suppose, our views on where we're at. But as I said to Kieran here, we're looking already to see how we could come back next year and be the team that we want to be, the team that's challenging for the All-Ireland. But for now, that's the end of the DL debate. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions. Thanks to all my guests and, of course, Joe Dex for producing. I'll speak to you all next week. All right, Joe, bye.